Matthew 2, 16 to 18, page 996, is a portion of scripture you wish that wasn't there. And it's only three verses. It just reads simply, when Herod realized he had been outwitted by the Magi, that's the wise men, he was furious and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and younger, in accordance with the time that he had learned from the Magi. This was said through the prophet. This is what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. I don't know when in the church calendar this comes in, but it probably has been in by now. But it is something that is just desperate. And you look at that and say, that's just horrendous. And that is what we have, a word of prayer, and I'll show you then what we have with it. Won't be too bad, actually. Lord, we do come and say, this is not a passage of scripture that we would willingly want to focus on. Indeed, Lord, the truth be known, we have walked before it, and we've walked after it, and we have left it right in the middle. Lord, it's not the kind of thing that anybody wants to hear or contemplate. Yet, we acknowledge it's a reality in our world that people who are innocent are killed, Lord, and terrible things happen because of the Herods of this world. We acknowledge that. And Lord, yes, this is what we have. This is what's in front of us. And our prayer simply is, may it say something to us that is new and fresh and relevant, and may it change us as a result. And all God's people said, amen. We're all familiar with the phrase, it all depends on who says it, it carries a certain amount of weight. You do it my way or else. Usually it's said with somebody who has a bit of clout. And you don't say that unless you have clout, because you have to have clout to say that. It means is, if you don't do it my way or else, there will be a price to pay or there will be a consequence. Is correct? That's Herod. There are only two words that we need to look at to understand this passage of scripture. And really verse 16 is the key part of it, isn't it? Verses 17 and 18 describes the reaction and what happened as a result of Herod. But there are two words, really, that help us to focus on what really happened with this. Because this is a man, a ruler called Herod the Great. That's not how we would call him. A man totally out of control. But as a result of what happened, there was a reaction to two things. First of all, the first word is outwitted. You'll see when Herod was outwitted or outsmarted or tricked, whatever word you want to use. That's the first word. And that outwitted led to this reaction. Furious. Outwitted and furious. They were both two human reactions. And they pretty much sums up Herod and what happened as a result. So when Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and younger, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi, and we know that pretty well. I know you do not think about evil too often, but let me tell you what evil says. Because this is a present reality. We've all turned on the news and we've heard of tremendous tragedies and awful stuff happening. And in that, evil is speaking. And when evil speaks, it says things like this. What I say goes at all times. Evil will not have anything or anyone control them. It will insist on having its own way. There's no such a thing as backing down with evil. Second thing I want to recognize about evil is this. I decide who lives and who dies. Because terrible things happen. We say, and you know what we say? That was evil. Would you want to know what it looks like? I decide who lives, who dies. Third thing I want you to see in it is, evil says to those who has, to those that have authority over it, says, you have no authority, you have no right, you have no power to stop me. When Herod began to move, what he says went at all times. He decides who lives, who decides, and who dies. He has the authority. The people he's going after have no authority, they have no rights, they have no power, and they have no means of what? Stopping him. Let me put all that together for you. In summary statement, and why you have this is, evil is heartless, viciously cruel, and knows no mercy. That's how it works. And to think of evil as anything less, well, we do ourselves no service and we do others a great deal of disservice. Evil is heartless, is vicious and cruel, and it knows no mercy. It says, what I say goes, I decide what to do, and you have no authority to stop me. That, of course, is evil at a very high level, isn't it? And at a very powerful level. When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and we'll see in a minute what he goes with, because we pretty much well know that. Well, let me say this. From this passage already, we've discovered that human reactions are really important, aren't they? You see, first thing it tells us, our reactions say a great deal about us. Because usually our reactions are pretty much spontaneous. For the most part, sometimes they're controlled and we think about it. But when we act out and we just act spontaneously and we get the reaction, you know a great deal about what's actually happening then, what's really important on the inside. You really do. When somebody outwits us or pulls the wool over our eyes or gets the better of us, how many times have you heard people saying this? No one is going to get the better of me. That's Herod. But it's relevant to real life and to where we are. All of us have heard statements like that. No one is going to make a fool out of me. When we have been, that we've been outsmarted or outdone or caught on the hop or the wool pulled over us, say whatever you want, we all understand it. The human reaction is, I won't let that happen again. The difference is at the level of evil and the level of power that Herod has. That's the difference. But many of us can identify with this. At a much, much, much lower level. How many times have you heard people saying this? Just wait and see, and I'll show them who's boss. They thought they've got the better of me. Just wait and see. That's Herod. But you can hear it and you can see it often in everyday life. Would you agree? The classic line, though, is this, isn't it? When we feel we've been really outsmarted and outwitted, and if we get frustrated, sometimes it doesn't bother us, but when it really bothers us, we'll say is, they'll pay dearly for that. Is that sense of retaliation or whatever it is, revenge or anger, and all that stuff, it's in us, it's in human, it's in the soul. But the grace of God, it rarely gets to the level that it got to Herod. But Herod was in a powerful position, and he was a ruthless man, and this was pretty much the pattern of his entire rule anyway. He killed an awful lot of people. But you can recognize, you see, we recognize Herod's sin fairly quickly. But the cause of it was that he was outsmarted. Herod had a plan, and the plan didn't work. He had an agenda. The agenda didn't work. And when he realized it hadn't worked and he got outsmarted, he just let rip. And all his fury came out. But we can identify that at a lower level. When you have a plan and it doesn't work, your reactions will say a great deal about you, as mine says about me. Then verse 17 says, then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. No, that's a disturbing verse. Because what that says is, Scripture knew that this was going to happen. And when it happened, and obviously when it happened and they started writing the Gospels, they were able to link this back to a prophecy. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because there are no more. Unconsolable grief. You know, when things like that happen, I don't care out in the real world, let me tell you, in the real world out there and in the Christian world, it raises questions. And the first question, this was predicted, why wasn't it prevented? Is that a valid question? Isn't it? Jeremiah lived a long, long time ago before this happened. Predicted, but not prevented. Second question, we would ask maybe, or you'd ask something like this, why was Joseph the only one given advance warning? Joseph was told in a dream to get up and take Mary and Jesus and move out of Bethlehem pronto. But nobody else was given that warning. Only Joseph. So you'd have to deal with the fact that it was predicted and not prevented. And now you have to think of only one person was warned. Why not the others? Maybe the mothers and the dads could have done a runner and gone to other relatives, you know, until the thing had passed. And the last question we ask, that everyone asks, is why was Herod allowed to inflict this vicious cruelty on innocent children? Is that valid? And that kind of things we come up with? Why? And we're not putting Herod on trial here. You know, when we ask those questions, you know who we're putting on trial? God. You're saying you knew, actually, you had it written down, and you didn't stop it. You could have given that dream to everybody else, all the other mums and dads, and some of them may have survived. Or you could have simply just taken the breath of life away from Herod and stopped it altogether. Now, if we ask those questions and we're followers of God, you can be sure out there who are struggling with God, even the existence of God and the problem of evil and suffering and all of that, they're even further down the road, and what they do is just dismiss it. Correct? So why was Herod allowed to inflict this vicious cruelty on innocent children? But our minds and me have been asking that question for hundreds of years, in some cases thousands of years. But one of the answers is this. Free will. It's not the only answer, but it's an answer. Free will. You see, free to choose good or to choose evil. No, everybody wants freedom. And people in different countries have it to different levels. Some are freer than others, and some are free to have better choices and can do better with it. But God, in His wisdom, have left us with this thing. We are free to choose good, or we are free to choose evil. I can get in my car today, and hopefully, and I will, by the grace of God, and drive safely, but I could plow somebody down if I wanted it. God is not going to stop me. I have no intention of doing that, and I wouldn't want to do it, even in accidentally trying to keep beyond the ball. But people have got into cars, we know that, in recent times, in different countries, and have plowed through people, even over in the UK. So we are free to choose good or to choose evil. We know what Herod did with it. He chose evil. And an awful lot of people, young children, young boys died, and an awful lot of grieving parents. And of course, we cry out to God to do something, and God does. And I firmly believe He does restrain evil. He does pull it back. I think things could even be worse. But every man and every woman is left with freedom of choice. There are consequences for our choices, we acknowledge that. But we're all left with the freedom to choose. You see, the Herods of this world, and I finished, of this world, believe in two things. This is really important to understand. First of all, they believe in the principle of evil. They know you can get what you want if you have enough power and enough authority and you're cruel enough and you lose your conscience, you can get it. So they know that the principle of evil actually works. But not alone are they aware of the principle, they know the principle actually works, but they know how to put it into practice. If the choice is between you and me, it's going to be me, says Herod. I stand, you die. So do you understand the principle of being ruthless, of being vicious, of being cruel, and all of that? But it's one thing to have the principle, to make it actually work, the air applies. And what you have then is the Herods of this world. We could name some of them down through the years in history. But the principle of evil works that way for us as well. To a far lesser degree, I acknowledge that. I want it and I want it at all costs. And I'm willing to pay whatever it is. So that's the principle of evil. On the other side then, the Christians of this world believe in this. They believe in the principle of good overcoming evil. Correct? Generally speaking. We say there's evil out there, but we believe that the principle of good overcoming evil, and that God is on the side of good, and eventually this will make sense. But what about the other thing? The practice of good overcoming evil. You see, it's very different to have a... There's a huge difference between having the principle and putting the principle into practice. Many people in this country would agree the principle of good overcoming evil. But putting that principle into practice is a different ballgame. When we looked at these sermons with Joseph going to Egypt and we could identify with him, here's a man who's overcoming evil, though he didn't understand it fully. We realized there were several things that he had to do. You see, Joseph had to deal with the suddenness of God showing up. And we all agreed here, we struggle with that. It was the middle of the night. We all acknowledged that there was tremendous inconvenience in following God for Joseph. And we are saying we want to follow God, but we're not too sure about the inconvenience. There was hardship. It was a huge journey. Hundreds upon hundreds of miles. With a toddler. We admitted on three occasions that nobody likes to be pounced upon and not being consulted in advance. We struggled with it. I'm not saying we would never come out, but we definitely struggled with it. Joseph wasn't consulted in advance. These instructions just came as he needed them and when he needed them, but he was never consulted. And five, not alone do we like to have time to think about it and find the easiest way of doing it, the minimum of hardship, and to be consulted, we like to be saying the decision is yours. With Joseph, actually, it was an order. Get up and take the child and stay in Egypt. And until Herod is dead. It was an order. Everybody agrees with the principle of overcoming good, overcoming evil with good, don't we? We all agree with it. Well, there's the practice of it. There's the practice. It's not as easy done as it is to agree to the principle, is it? There's a great sermon, I'll do it next year, between Joseph and Herod. Herod was the great back in the day, and now you will see with him now. But the practice of good overcoming evil means you're going to have to struggle with some of this. And evil knows that we do. That we struggle with the suddenness of it, the inconvenience, the hardship, the fact of not being given advance notice, and the fact of being ordered. So, when we ask the questions, Lord, why did you let this happen? Why were other people not given advance warnings, and I don't answer, and why was Herod allowed to do all of this? You have one man there who is willing to do what God asked him. Does this make sense to you then? You see the struggle? But it's much harder than you realize, much harder than I realize, anyway. Applications. I have three. The first is, freedom of choice is a wonderful gift when used for good, but can be deadly when used for evil. We all agree with that, don't we? Number two, the freedom of choice is left with us. God gives that to every man and woman. Admittedly, some have more and some have less freedom. But the freedom of choice is left to us. And when we would ask the questions, why did God allow it in all of this? Then the Lord would say to us, well, will you do the thing that I ask of you in the suddenness of the middle of the night? Will you rise above the inconvenience? Will you endure the hardship that it takes? Are you willing to do it without being consulted? And are you willing to stay there and follow orders? You see, I think in this country where we've gone wrong is we have agreed often in the principle of good. It is in the practice of it. And there's a cost in overcoming evil. And evil will say, not everyone is willing to pay the cost. So the freedom of choice is left to us each day. There will be evil in this world until Jesus returns. But the last thing in it is this truth. No one, regardless of their power or their precision, can outwit God. Men have been trying to outwit God since time has begun. Nobody can do it. Though it doesn't stop men from trying it. Herod didn't realize it, but he was trying to outwit the plan of God. If you were to ask the Lord, why did all those children die needlessly in Bethlehem that day? Why the inconsolable grief for those mums and dads? Why only Joseph, given the dream? I can't give you the answer that the Lord will give you, but I can give you this answer. He would say, the child survived on that day. Yes. But did he escape death? He only survived to die another day. That's the answer. Jesus only survived to die another day. Even he wouldn't escape it. But he would choose the time to when to do. And one more thing he would say to us. Yes, Jesus would die another day. And in dying another day, he would ultimately defeat the power of death and the power of evil. But until he returns, this freedom of choice of good and evil remains with all of us. But the consolation is, nobody, regardless of who we are, where we are, or what kind of a country we live in, or how people view God, nobody will outwit him. That is the lesson that I learned from that portion of Scripture. Lord, we come before you, and Lord, we have looked at Joseph several times. And Lord, we do cry out, Lord, when we hear of, Lord, shootings in America where somebody goes in with a gun, Lord. Lord, awful stuff happens. We hear it in the news. Lord, in this country, Lord, when things happen, Lord, with young children. And Lord, we cry out, Lord, when just terrible atrocities, and we'll be asking the question where and why and all of that. And Lord, there are good questions to ask. But Lord, in our heart of hearts, Lord, we have trouble even surrendering our own wills daily to you in whatever way we can overcome evil with good. And Lord, there's daily battles for all of us. We know, Lord, that at the level of the highest level of evil, only Jesus can defeat that, and he has defeated it. But Lord, there is freedom of choice for us in all of this as well. And Lord, our prayer simply is, Lord, when the suddenness comes again, Lord, when we're not expecting it, And there is the inconvenience, and there is the hardship, Lord. And there's not being consulted. Lord, that we at least remember this is what it means for the practice of good to overcome evil. That Jesus did not escape any of this either. And all God's people said,